Hello, everyone. This is your host, Esperanza Ray with New Consciousness, New World. Wanted to welcome you to back to the show. For those of you who are new to the show, we basically talk about anything that is spiritual related. And obviously, the most important focus of the show is the ascension process and revelations and the apocalypse, which basically is the same thing. And we address issues that are basically within that topic or category. Almost anything goes, because you can talk about extraterrestrials to religion, to your belief, your faith, your system, anything. Today's show is focused. We're going to be going back to the topic of the ascension process, because that's really what New Consciousness, New World is about, and what's intended is to develop a new consciousness, a new awareness, and by doing so, we change ourselves and we change the world around us. Obviously, you know that our world, our environment, is basically a reflection of what we believe, what we understand, and what we know. So that in mind, basically we create the world around us through our fears, through our beliefs, through our choices, through everything, every action we take in an everyday life. The people we choose to have as friends, the people we choose to associate with, the careers we choose to follow, and so on and so on. But I wanted to also address something that happened very recently. The comet over Russia. And as you know, it was very, very unpredicted situation, really. And there was obviously a lot of people hurt in the process. And while not trying to, you know, negate the importance of the, you know, social impact and the effect on so many people that were actually directly impacted by the comet, I want to draw our attention to the actual comet itself, what happened. For those of you who read my book, Hope Reigns Beyond 2012. In there, I talk about different events that are going to be taking place on our planet. And one of the things that I mention are comets and basically meteorites hitting our planet directly, not passing by in the atmosphere, but actually coming crashing down to our planet and creating similar impacts to the one we had in Russia. Of course, the sizes will vary, you know, based on the size of the comet and on the based on the what's out there in space floating around. But this is part of what was revealed in the three visions, the three main visions that were the focus of the book. And but I wanted to just briefly touch about what happened in Russia, because it's basically what the point is here, is that these events are taking place, and some of them have already taken place, as I mentioned in the book. After all, these visions were, I had them before President Bush came into power, before his election as president. I started to have them. And the first one was before his presidency, and then I had two more, over a period of time. And in the news, it said that the Russian meteorite, there's obviously people are fascinated with the debris, and they're hunting down bits and pieces because they can actually become very valuable. But what we need to understand is, there is something more serious happening behind all of these events. And the seriousness is that our planet, not just our planet, but our star system, our universe is changing. And we're all being impacted by this change because we impact our environment. And because this is an interactive partnership, our environment impacts us as well. The race for the comic, basically, I mean, this occurred, I think, a couple of weeks ago. I'm not exactly sure of the date exactly. I'm not sure that it's that important either. But the important thing is that these events are going to be happening more and more often. The freak is not revealed to me because, like I mentioned in the book, this I saw this in a fast forward process. So you might say the movie I saw or the images as I were shown were fast forward, very fast forwarded, because this happened over a period of a few hours and the events encompass a period of several years. So as you can understand, it's very hard to be able to see everything in detail. One of the things I have found out, though, is as I sit down to write the book based on the events, more detail is provided by Spirit, and more information is provided. And then from here is where I really get the more everyday occurrences. And it's going to be a serious situation for us. It's going to be a very difficult time for everyone concerned. However, if we can focus our attention truly on Spirit, if we can focus our attention and our faith in God, if we can bring ourselves to that level of faith of the mustard seed, then we can overcome these situations. One of the things I've been finding over the years, basically, like I said, I started my spiritual development about 30 years ago or more. And I was in my teenage years. And over that period of time, I've experienced a lot of events that were going to happen, things that I didn't even know I was going to be included in this book. I just knew that these were things that were going to be happening in the future, and I was being provided this information for personal reasons, not to be necessarily shared with the entire world. However, when I was putting the three main visions in there, through Spirit's guidance and direction, I saw how all the pieces began to fit together, and that's how the book was written. Over the years, though, sometimes you find yourself, there are peak moments when you find yourself perfectly in balance and achieving all the goals that you have set forward. But the opposite is also true. There are moments of imbalance when things are difficult to manifest, at least the things that you truly want to manifest in your life. And sometimes it's even hard to do the basic things like just meditate or even pray, because meditation is a form of prayer, and prayer is a form of meditation. So what I have been able to find after much searching and after periods of feeling lost, I find that what helps me get back on track is very simple. It's getting back to the basics. So what does it mean to get back to the basics? For example, for me, what it means to get back to the basics is reading books like the Bible, which is basically one of the starting points where it was revealed to humanity the events that were supposed to occur when the ascension process takes place. That's one of the basic books. There are other basic books from other people written. You have books like from Greg Braden. You have books from Dr. Hertog, J.J. Hertog, and his wife Desiree Hertog. who also have incredible, powerful, life-changing books like The Keys of Enoch. If you have not read those, I highly recommend them because it's such a powerful book. And trust me, it's not an easy read. If Spirit doesn't guide you to understand his statements, you will not understand them. But if it's intended that you read this book and understand this knowledge, then it will be provided to you. Then there are other books who are intended to misguide us and mislead us. And that's why you need to discern which of those books are intended for you to learn from and which books are to discern for you so that you can test yourself and determine what is appropriate for you and what is not. And one of the things that has been provided was the book that I wrote, Hope Reigns Beyond 2012. And when I go back to the basics and I started reading the Bible, interestingly enough, I decided to start with the New Testament. Because you know why? Simple. I figured we're Christians, means followers of Christ. Why bother reading the Old Testament when we have a new covenant, which was initiated in the time or with Christ's birth and also his death? So I decided to, instead of going through the whole entire Bible, just to go back to the New Testament. However, interestingly enough too, the New Testament makes some references to the Old Testament. So I found it very interesting to read one of the books, the book of Daniel, which, even though it's not officially within the Revelations side of the Bible, it is considered Revelations or apocalyptic writings. And I thought it was very, very powerful. However, interesting, I totally had forgotten about the Russian comet. I mean, I remembered when I saw the reports on TV and on the internet. I remembered, you know, what I had been told, because after all, I did write a book about, you know, the revelations and what was going to happen. And obviously the meteorites, the falling of meteorites, was part of the book. So yeah, I recalled that information. But you know what happens with our minds? We get caught up on everyday events, and I totally forgot about it. So the other day when I was reading the Bible, the New Testament, it references Daniel's book. And I just happen to know what page it is on my New American Bible. It's on page 917. And I actually marked some of the pages in there because it reminded me again to the book that I had been given and provided, how things are going to happen in places where those things never occurred before. And by that I'm referring to, for example, California is an area of earthquakes. You know, most people there know what an earthquake is like. I've lived there for 4 years and I've experienced several earthquakes. And some of them were, you know, smaller than others, so a little less scary, but a few of them, I happened to be on my own, and they happened to be at home, and it was just a little bit intimidating. I mean, I wouldn't say I was frightened, but it was a bit intimidating. So places like California are known for, you know, basic earthquakes, while places like the East Coast are more known for hurricane impact. Although hurricanes actually occur or start in the water, they do come into land and impact usually the East Coast, starting from, you know, the Bahamas areas, Haiti and the Bahamas and all that area around there. And then they come up towards through the Florida coast and move upward, sometimes far up north into the lakes. And sometimes, fortunately, they stop a little sooner. But I'm in Northern Virginia, so we have been impacted by a hurricane. Fortunately, we avoided Sandy. So this area is well known for the hurricanes. And other parts in the middle of the country are more known for tornadoes, for example. What is going to happen, though, in the moments of great tribulation is that these effects, which are traditionally in a specific area of the United States or in a specific part of the world, are going to be happening all over, not just in those specific areas. So, for example, just to give you an example of how things are changing, we've had an earthquake last year that was pretty intense on the East Coast. And that was a little bit, it was an interesting situation because I was working in my office and all of a sudden, you know, the windows started shaking. I had these little ornaments on top of the windows. So everything started shaking and I was like, well, this looks like an earthquake. This feels like an earthquake. This is like the earthquakes I experienced in California. But heck, we're in Virginia. How could the earthquakes possibly occur in Virginia? Well, anyway, the point is that it turns out this is not the first quake that happens in the East Coast. It's the first one I've heard of, and I've been here for 30-some years, but I had never experienced an earthquake in the East Coast. However, the point again is that earthquakes are going to be occurring in places where nobody ever thought to think of them occurring. Hurricanes are going to happen in the same way, and we're going to have humongous tidal waves or tsunamis, whichever you prefer to call them, and many more. We're going to have volcanic eruptions, and we're going to have the movement of the tectonic plates. So we're in for a lot of things that are going to be very traumatic. And because there's going to be so many different types of, you know, natural phenomenon occurring where they're not expected to occur, because we're going to have record storms, you know, some people think, well, you know, you're just exaggerating, but actually that's not true. It was confirmed in Daniel. It starts in 9:17 in my Bible. And I'm going to open it up for a moment to read you a little bit of this because I think it's so important that we understand that there's a very important message here and that we are so close. Not to the end of the world, but definitely to the end of the world as we understand and we know it. So, and you know, the interesting thing about Daniel's writings, I found very inspiring because he also talks about the kingdoms. You know, he talks about the Persians, talks about Troy, and he talks about the Greeks. And so it's really, really fascinating, the Hellenistic Wars and all of that. And what really caught my attention most of all, of everything that I was reading, was that there are going to be storms in record occurrences never before recorded during human existence. This is not something that I've invented. This is simply something that was revealed and that I often now read. A lot of things that I'm guided to read are to validate and confirm that my information is accurate and correct when it deals with revelations. So, it was really fascinating to go and read, you know, how all of these things were going to take place And it's going to be records. Again, it's going to be something totally never to the extremes, never occurred before. Going to be changes that we have never before seen in our planet. And we already know through scientific fact that the poles have reversed. So then if things are going to happen that we have never seen before, have never occurred since the beginning of time, it is very logical to conclude that the pole shifts will be one of those changes. And we do know that that is correct. So those are some of the things that we're going to be discussing for the next few weeks. We're going to be addressing issues of this type because I think it's important for us to be prepared and to start living our life in a manner that will be conducive to overcoming the situations. Now, why do I bring this up? Do I like to torment you guys with the apocalypse? No. That is not the focus. The focus is to rise beyond the circumstances, to rise beyond the crisis, to rise beyond the challenges that we're going to be encountering. And most of all, to be able to have the faith, the belief, the trust, and the knowing that regardless of what's going to happen for the people of God, those circumstances will be dealt with in a manner that will not impact you. Okay, so first you have to believe that if you are under God's protection, nothing will touch you. And although sometimes a lot of us find that hard to believe, given the circumstances, especially the serious economic crisis that we're suffering on the planet and all over the world, how we're all being impacted and how so many more people are being put out on the street, losing their homes, losing their livelihoods. And the situation does not improve, and our political system in all reality is not trying to find a solution because they know they have solutions and they're not applying them. So it's very logical for us to see that we are living a moment in time in humanity when things are really a little bit out of control at all levels. And how do we bring that under our control, at least for what impacts us? Well, again, I referred to this earlier, going back to the basics, developing the belief and the understanding and the knowing that if we are children of God, and we all have been created in the image of God, we are all divine beings, then we are children of God. So let's look at what makes us children of God. Because in the Bible, it does say that the elect people of God actually turned their heads away from God. And not only that, but when God sent his prophets, when God sent his saints, they either killed them or they basically ignored them. In the best of cases, they ignored them. In the worst of cases, they killed them. Until God sends Yeshua, his son. So Yeshua came to show us the way. And what was done to Yeshua? Again, he was killed. However, if you read the Bible, and in Daniel specifically, there are a lot of testimonies to the fact that if you put your trust in God, and if you put your prayer in God, if you put your heart and your soul in the belief that God is just and that God will take care of that justice applied not just to you, but to any person who stands against you, then you can remain in that belief in that system and God will protect you. If we choose to walk in the path of God, to live by his commandments, and two of his commandments are very simple to follow. If you can just follow those two commandments, you're basically home free. The first commandment is honor God and love God before anything else. And two, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Of course, you have to learn to love yourself in order to love your neighbor. And if we can do those things and act according to those truths, those two main truths, then we are children of God. And if we choose God above all things and we do not deny God, even when we are tempted, then we stand fast. And when the time comes, we are protected by God and by the hierarchies of light. Now, you wonder, well, I already know all of this. Why the heck are you bringing this up on the radio show? Well, I'm bringing it up because there are people out there who unfortunately don't know that and who unfortunately don't believe that. I was appalled when I met people this summer, very wonderful, very spiritual people that I thought were magnificent. And when we got to know each other a little bit more and we talked about our belief systems and our, our learning process, our understanding of what is happening on the planet right now and what is to happen, and also how we can make a difference in the world, I found myself surprised to find that these same people did not have the belief that God or that they can be saved by acting according to the commandments that God provided for us. And that was really a shocker for me, I have to say, because it was like these people have been working most of their life for an awakening, an understanding of who God is and what we do. And, a person who organizes events, some of these people organized events, some of these people attended numerous workshops, very well read, very well, very awakened people. And yet they had this fear that we have no way out, that we don't, no matter what we do, there is this evil force, which is the precursor to the apocalypse. And if some of you doubt that we are living in a time of evil, then wake up and smell the coffee, people, because we do. I mean, all you have to do is look around you and you see the level of evil in the world that I sometimes find appalling. I mean, every other word on television is a blasphemy, taking God's name in vain. And you might say, you're so used to it that we don't even pay attention to it. And I'll be the first to admit that I have been seeing this more and more frequent, but it's come to the point that I haven't seen a movie in the last 2 or 3 months that hasn't used God's name in vain. And I find this extremely appalling, because even though this is a very common statement, I am shocked that people who are truly spiritual, awakened beings, and who believe in a higher being, whether it be male or female, it doesn't really matter, because up there, there are no genders. So I don't even know why we bother with some stuff like that. But that we would take the most holy, holy thing that exists and, try to blaspheme with that name. I mean, God's name is sacred. If that is the most sacred word you hold, how can you be using it like this? And then people get offended because we use this or we say that. If you say something about, a religion or if you, I don't blame them for getting upset. Like, there was a major issue because a movie was talking about the Islamic beliefs. They have a right to believe their beliefs, and we have no right to offend anybody for their beliefs. That is true of any religion. That is true of Christian religions. That is true of Judaism. That is true of Islam. That is true of any religion. We have the right to respect them. We don't have the obligation to agree with them, but we have a divine right to respect someone else's belief. and to respect the other person, because we are all made in the image of God, and we are all divine beings by nature and by creation. And it's stated very clearly in Daniel that we are made female and male with the purpose of marriage to procreate. Now, we know that there are a lot of issues now dealing with homosexuality and, same-sex relationships. I have friends that are gay. I respect them. I don't pretend to understand their sexual preference because, truthfully, I don't even understand myself. I have to work at understanding myself, let alone trying to understand somebody else. So that's not the issue here. The issue is that when you want to follow a path, you need to follow that path and you need to understand what that path entails. And sometimes it means going back to the basics and understanding what that process means. But we have an obligation to respect each human being, whether their preferences are in agreement with us or not. We have an obligation to love everyone. We have an obligation, as part of that love, to respect and treat other people with that consideration and respect. Now, I have heard, again, people who are very spiritual saying, oh, well, I have a right to my opinion. If you don't like it, it's because, it's your problem. Because what I say, if it's not true, it shouldn't bother you. Well, you know what? That's not what God says. God says very clearly that what comes out of your mouth does defile you, buddy. Not the other person that you're throwing crap at, but it defiles you. And if you're promoting that kind of defile to others, then your sin is greater, or your bad behavior, your karma is greater. And you know what? You are going to be held accountable for that. So, again, we need to have an ethics, a moral ethics, a way of measuring who we as spiritual beings we are. And we need to treat each other with that ethics and that moral compass that we have. And in order to maintain a spiritual compass, a spiritual moral, and to act in accordance to that, we have to keep reminding ourselves who we are, what we are, and what we are trying to accomplish in this planet. It's obvious that hate produces more hate. Anger produces more anger. I mean, Jesus goes to as far as saying as he who lives by the sword will die by the sword. If we live in hate, we will die in that hate. And I'm not saying that we don't feel hate. I'm not saying that we don't feel anger. I'm saying that we need to let it go. And I'm the first one to admit that I need to let it go and that I need to learn from those things. But always holding ourselves accountable and always trying to improve ourselves and always reminding ourselves who we are and that we have a purpose on this planet and that we are going to be held accountable. And some people don't even believe there's a hell. They believe what our society likes to promote, that hell is actually here. And as a matter of fact, one of these wonderful spiritual people said exactly that to me. And I said, well, I don't mean to contradict you, but my understanding is there is a hell. And there have been people who have seen it. And not only that, most important of all, it mentions it in the Bible. Now, I'm not saying that, I'm not going to tell you there is a hell if I don't know there is a hell. I have not seen it. In truth, I have not seen it. However, I do believe what is stated in the Bible, because the Bible is supposed to represent the word of God and the words of Yeshua. So if the Bible says there is a hell, I believe there is a hell. And it describes a very distinct place. And it talks about demons, and it talks about suffering and how those demons in hell are torturing those people who end up there. Okay? So it's not a place that I would particularly like to be in. And if I don't want to be there, if it's bad enough sometimes here when we, you know, get into all kinds of bad stuff, if that's bad, consider this. If this world, if this time that we live here is a blink of an eye compared to eternity, heck, I don't want to live all of my eternity in a place called hell. And I sure as heck don't want to be living in a place where I'm going to be tortured for the rest of my life. So I need to get my act together now. Most important, one of the things that I have been hearing constantly, and especially through spiritual guidance and direction, is a lot of people say, well, you know, the important thing is myself. The important thing is to learn to love myself, because I can't love others if I don't love myself. I need to save myself before I can save others. Absolutely true. I agree with those statements 100%. However, through spirit, the word is this, that we need to go beyond saving ourselves. We need to go beyond the self-realization. We need to help others find that realization. We need to help others awaken. And we need to help others to provide them some direction and guidance to save themselves if they cannot do so. Recently, I was listening to a minister who happens to be a youth minister, meaning they work with high school level students, and they help them to understand within their, you know, their environment that they're, you know, they help them to develop faith, to have a connection with God, and to know that there's something greater beyond what we understand. And of course, some of those ministers are specific denominations. So yes, they work within their denominational group, whether it be Catholic or Protestant or whatever denominations out there, you know. And one of the things that really caught my attention, and it was a little bit sad to hear, was the fact that today's youth, the generations of today, I'm concluding not everyone, but a very large number, to the point that it's a major concern, that these young children, these young kids that are in the ages of 14, 15, 16, and 17 had no belief system, had no value system as we may understand or we have been brought up to believe. And they had, as a result of that, a lack of goals for the future. That was a bit demoralizing. Because if you don't believe in anything, do you have a purpose to be here? I mean, to me, the most important thing in my life has always been God. I mean, that is not even a question. And a lot of the decisions I've made in my life were intended exactly with that goal in mind. It was spirit guiding me to go here, to do this, to do that, and to have the jobs that I had, and to do the things that I did, and even to meet the people that I met and teach some of the workshops I've taught and that I plan to teach in the future. That, to me, has always been the most important thing. And when we talk about heroes, it surprised me, because a hero to me is someone extraordinary, someone that not many people can be at that level. And to me, that was also very clear. There was only one person like that at the time that I knew of, and that was Jesus. To me, even as a child, that was the most clear thing. I mean, who would die for me? I didn't know anybody who would be willing to die for me, but I knew Jesus did. And I thought to myself, wow, can you imagine not having any of this to hold on to? When things get bad, when things get negative, not to have a faith that motivates you, or any kind of hope that allows you to believe that tomorrow is going to be a better day, or that tomorrow I will be able to change the things around me that are creating all these problems. I mean, can you take a moment and try to imagine a world where God does not exist, where there's no hope, where there's no belief of any kind beyond our mundane human body and our physical world? That is pretty sad. However, when you don't, I don't know, I don't believe, I completely know with absolute certainty that there is a God because I have experienced God. And when you experience God, you understand and you get to know Him. And when you know Him, there may be moments of weakness because we are human, because we are to some degree, at times there's weakness about us. However, because I believe, because I know, because I have experienced, I can rise above. I have a force stronger than just me that moves me up and out of my depression, of my despair, of my lack of hope, and motivates me and lets me know that there is a better day, there is a better world. And you know what? I have the strength given to me by the most powerful energy force that exists. And that energy force is within me, and I am made in the image of this energy, all-powerful source that created everything, seen and unseen, all that is known and unknown. And this powerful being chose me and continued to choose me, and I choose, absolutely choose to follow and dedicate my life and my being in the service of this being. And you are witnesses to my promise here or my commitment. Now, it doesn't mean everybody has to have the same level of commitment. Each one of us has a role, and every role is important because every role is needed to fulfill different aspects of our world, of our environment, of our everyday life. We need so many people. That is why every role is so important, and because everyone is made in the image of God, that every role is as significant and as important as anybody else's role. Even though sometimes that may not appear to be true. All right. So when you take all of this into consideration, we really have a humongous responsibility as beings of light, as awakened beings who know better, to do better, and to help those who don't know better, and to help those who are lost, to help those who don't know, to help those who have not experienced and are caught down in the deeps of serious depression, you know, getting caught up in all kinds of things that only degrade the energy of our being, degrade basically our soul and our energy essence. Things that are not necessarily in benefit of the person, but create a servitude to something that is actually degrading and negative. And if you don't believe that that's true, all you have to do is look at our televisions, look at our movies, the language, the obscenity, the violence. I mean, I think in the last 5 years, we've had more movies with more violence than probably in the last 20 or 30 years back. And it's a very serious thing that we have to rise beyond this, and we have to become consciously aware and consciously selective of what we bring into our lives. I went around the televisions and the mirrors of the house putting sacred names and sacred words and mantras on each one of them so that whenever somebody in the house watches something that's violent, it is, does not defile the energy within. And you know, we have to be selective also of what we watch, because believe it or not, it does to some degree impact our energy vibration. It impacts our thought process. It impacts consciously and yes, unconsciously, our belief systems, our thoughts, and our words and our actions towards each other. One of the issues that's taking place right now is there's a major concern about the youth in our country because of the fact that there have been so many cases of violence at schools in the last 2 or 3 years. And interestingly enough, they blame this on the guns. Now, I'm not saying that guns are good. I would never say that. Again, Jesus is very clear when he spoke to his apostles. He who lives by the sword dies by the sword. That is true for guns. That applies for anything. So if we take that into account, we need to analyze beyond the obvious. While guns are a consequence, they are not the actual problem. The problem lies within us. It lies within us human beings. It lies within the way we treat ourselves, the respect we have for each other. And if you pay attention to a lot of the things that are happening today on the news and also on the internet and even on television, it has become very clear that the violence that exists and is projected in there is affecting our youth. It's affecting our energy. It's affecting our environment. It's affecting us. And if we don't do meditation and prayer and hold that energy of love and peace and balance, which helps to eliminate so much negativity, then we are allowing this energy to take over. Remember, it takes one positive thought to suppress 100 negatives. That is extremely powerful. We have so much power within us that we haven't even begun to experience that. And on the next shows to come, I want to go into more detail in bringing out that energy, bringing out that power to learn to connect the most powerful resource humanity has, which is the power of the mind integrated with the power of energy, life force, and integrate that again with the soul within us. If we can integrate the three energies, the Trinity within us, if we can bring them together as one, we become extremely powerful beings. And I want to discuss that more. Because if we can learn to use this kind of energy, we will transform the world. And what I describe in my book as the crystal cities, the future cities, the quantum level existence, or I should say the fifth dimension existence, is a reality, and we have no choice but to move forward. And just like there are people, beautiful, wonderful spiritual people like yourselves out there, there are also some people who are just the opposite, and they don't want this transformation. They don't want this ascension because you know what? They cannot handle it. And they want to keep everybody else there because they need our energy, because they don't know how to access energy. They need us for that purpose. And we are not going to be sticking around for anybody. We are going home, buddies. We are going home. That is our destiny. That is our goal. And there is nothing that can stop evolution or the ascension process. So with those things in mind, let us focus on what I just said about what is really behind this violence. A lot of it has to do with medication drugs, basically. Drugs that may affect a lot of people in one way, but a few people they make more aggressive. And I mean, this has been validated, and there are testimonies to this from some of the families of some of the children that have actually gone out and committed some of this violence. So, you know, we need to keep real focus on what the truth is, because the media and a lot of the information provided out there is really misinformation, and we need to get to the truth so we can really transform and change the planet and really understand what's going on. If you are located in the Northern Virginia area, I would like you to invite you to join our group through the Thrive Movement. Go to thrivemovement.com, and on there, there is a Solutions Hub area. Within the hub, look for Research Center for Inner Awareness. You have to enter the city. Basically, you can enter just Virginia. And it will provide all the different groups, solution groups that are located in the Northern Virginia area. I invite the local people. I would love to invite everyone else. But the thing is that the purpose of the groups are to provide solutions locally. If you want to participate as an informed member, that is, you know, that you're also welcome. Like I said, I would be happy to invite everyone to join us. However, it is intended in the local areas for the purpose of actually transforming the communities, the local communities. And so again, I invite you to join Research Center for Inner Awareness, which is one of the Northern Virginia groups. All you have to enter, I believe, is the state. And then it gives you about four groups total in the area. One being in Richmond, which is about 2 hours from here. So obviously that's a little further down. But in the local area, this is the closest actually to DC, because we're about half an hour from DC. And it does encompass DC, some of the Maryland area that's fairly close, and obviously the Washington, DC, and again, Northern Virginia. And our goal is to start viewing the movie and to try to work together to find solutions for ourselves. And also to make use of the solutions some groups have found and apply them to ourselves and to our local area. All right? That being said, I want to invite you to join us on a spiritual educational process in the next few weeks. We might have an exception, because if we have a guest, it may not fall within the criteria of the ascension process, although I will do my best to fit within the parameters of the ascension process. However, there may be exceptions to the rules, so that would be the only time that we would not be discussing. But my goal is to focus more on educating ourselves, teaching you actual methods and techniques of applying to yourself, and to teach others as well, for the purpose of connecting the three aspects, the three trinitized beings that exist within the mind, the energy, and the soul, so that we can become the powerful beings that we are intended to be from the moment we were born. And we are going to be addressing some of the issues in the revelations as well. And we will be talking about some of the apocalypse writings that are not necessarily within the sections of the Bible relating to revelations, but that do deal with or address the apocalypse period in time that we are so close to. And the main goal here is to provide us with self-empowerment, to provide us with self-knowledge, and most important, personal experience to help you think for yourselves through connection of spirit and become the powerful lighthouses that you are, and to share your light with others around you and motivate them to join us if you feel that they can benefit from this process. So let us learn to educate ourselves, let us learn to work with each other and share in the knowledge that we are given, and move forward in this ascension process. So, if you have any questions, feel free to email me. You can find it on BBS New Consciousness New Radio on Mondays, and invite anyone you think has any desire to continue the spiritual path and to get to know yourself and to know God in this wonderful experience that we are all called to share. Remember this, and I leave you with this thought. We are all called. And it's very interesting because Daniel writes about this. He uses, and it's actually used in different places in the Gospels as well, and in different writings from different apostles, that the Father, they use the example of a wedding and how the people, the special guests, are called and invited, and they do not come or refuse to come or ignore the request, the invitation. So then the host decides to send out the servants and invite anyone that they can find and come to the feast of the wedding, because the people called decided not to come. When he does this, he realizes that when these people arrive at the banquet for the wedding, there's one person among them who's not dressed appropriately, but is dressed in very dirty, dingy clothes. And so the metaphor here is that this person is totally unprepared for an event, is totally unprepared to receive the gifts of God and to be invited and partake in this banquet. And so this person is casted out. We too need to be prepared because we are all invited. We have all been invited. But the key is not just being invited, because God does not discriminate. The key is, are we willing to be prepared to reply to and join the banquet in a proper attire, to be in the proper condition, to bring us up to par, to prepare ourselves, to awaken, to be fully aware, to recognize who we are, and be and partake of this wonderful process. So I leave you with this thought, because you are all called. Now the question is, are you willing to follow? And if you are, then join us next Monday. Well, not next Monday, within 2 Mondays, because we do it every other week. And we will continue in this process. I want to wish you all a wonderful, wonderful week. God bless you. And again, Esperanza Ray, your host, BBS, New Consciousness, New Radio. Join us again in a couple of weeks.